about this is that I got to help document it, I got to help evaluate it, but it was really their brainchild. And it's just so exciting to work with social workers who are doing really innovative, novel programs. And I think this is a great example of how universities can partner with communities to really figure out what works for these families.
MOVE stands for Mothers Overcoming Violence Through Education and Empowerment. Rebecca Macy is so glad she got the opportunity to find out about it and to tell you about it. Rebecca Macy, today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
Performance Automall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Automall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Automall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
It's 8 o'clock. You're listening to 97.9 FM and 1360 AM, WCHL. Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Marshfield Police Chief Philip Tavares.
With what's predicted to be 50-mile-an-hour plus winds, maybe hurricane gusts, there could be substantial power outages.
Bone-chilling cold with below-zero wind chills is a prelude to the storm, and that deep cold stretches back into the Midwest. With cyber attacks a daily concern, President Obama heads west to tell top CEOs everyone's got to do more to beef up security and share information. CBS's Pam Coulter says the call will come at a key meeting at Stanford University.
At the summit, President Obama will announce actions he's taking to improve information sharing among the private sector and federal law enforcement. The National Retail Federation's Mallory Duncan says that's important, but there's got to be flexibility.
One of the most important things that the White House can do would be to encourage small information sharing pools so that cyber threats could be immediately shared and protected against.
Cyber attacks on retailers, including Target and Neiman Marcus, compromised the financial data of more than 100 million Americans. Pam Coulter, CBS News, Washington.
The Obamacare sign-up period is in the home stretch. CBS's Barry Bagnato has more.
A smooth-running federal website and a better understanding of the Affordable Care Act system have made this year's open enrollment period pretty much trouble-free, and a final surge of applications is expected before it ends this Sunday.
The real issue is making sure that people don't wait until the last minute.
Marketplace CEO Kevin Cunahan says enrollments through the federal and state exchanges have topped 10 million so far. The government's target is to keep 9.1 million of them signed up through the end of the year. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
The same judge who struck down Alabama's ban on gay marriage has ordered Mobile County to start issuing licenses. It's one of the counties where judges have resisted. WKRG-TV reporter Chad Petrie.
The real test is what is going to happen. Will those other county probate courts fall in line with this order? We got word from Baldwin County's probate judge that even though it offends his personal beliefs, that he will begin issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples.
The FBI is now part of the investigation into the killing of three Muslim students in North Carolina. A neighbor, Craig Stephen Hicks, has been charged with murder. CBS's Vicente Arenas is covering.
Chapel Hill police say they believe Hicks shot the three over a long-standing dispute about a parking space at the apartment complex where they lived. Police Chief Chris Blue says the investigation is far from over.
We're examining every possible investigative angle to include the potential for hate crime.
Outrage over the shootings has sparked an outcry online and across the world under the hashtag Muslim Lives Matter.
And Turkey's president today criticized President Obama for not speaking out against the killings. There was an attack today at a huge base in Iraq where U.S. forces are training Iraqi security forces. Eight with suicide vests were killed by Iraqi soldiers. There may be a ceasefire agreement set to take hold this weekend, but the fighting has only seemed to intensify in eastern Ukraine. Journalist Stefan Hoiboom is in the city of Donetsk.
I've spoken to some rebel fighters, and the remarkable thing is that they don't really know about the Minsk summit or the ceasefire. They're ordinary fighters. They're fighting because of fighting.
The U.S. says the deal worked out in Minsk may give too much to Russia and pro-Russian rebels. 4 minutes after the hour.
This hour of the Morning News is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
This morning on WCHL, law enforcement authorities are continuing to investigate the triple murder from earlier this week in Chapel Hill. WCHL's Danny Hooley spoke with Usama Mezoui, Vice President of United Muslim Relief, about the loss of the three young people and some of the great volunteer work that defines their legacy. And all week long, we've been celebrating the life of legendary UNC coach Dean Smith and sharing stories of the many ways he touched the lives of those in Chapel Hill and beyond. The stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill cover of traffic and weather together. Now, in WCHL Championship Sports this morning, the North Carolina women knocked off Florida State last night in a bit of a mild upset at Carmichael Arena. Carolina men will play tomorrow at Pittsburgh. And today, it's the opening of the Carolina baseball season. And getting back to basketball.
Watch out for Pitt, a team with NCAA bubble trouble.
That's this morning in our Chansky Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
8:06, 26 degrees in Chapel Hill, and the beginning of a cool day. Hot day only in the upper 30s. Partly sunny skies, but much cooler. Tonight, clear, cold with a low around 19. On Saturday, not a bad day, actually. Partly sunny and breezy tomorrow. Our high temperatures will climb into the low 50s, but Saturday night, therein lies the problem. Saturday night and Sunday, mostly cloudy Saturday night, slight chance of rain showers. Then after midnight, it'll really get windy. Clear skies, low about 14, wind chill values down near zero. Same thing happening the next night. Law enforcement authorities are continuing to investigate the triple murder from earlier this week in Chapel Hill. There is, of course, the local investigation headed up by the Chapel Hill Police Department. And as you heard just on CBS a few moments ago, the FBI has opened up a parallel investigation. Three Muslim college students, as everybody knows by now, were shot and killed this week. 46-year-old Craig Stephen Hicks is in custody. He's charged with three counts of first-degree murder. Now, the preliminary investigation from police points to an ongoing parking dispute as the motive for the shooting. Others wonder if racial or religious bias played into the incident. Orange County District Attorney Jim Woodall spoke with WCHL's Blake Hodge about the implications of the crime being prosecuted as a murder over a parking dispute or as a hate crime.
In North Carolina, we only have a couple of statutes that deal with hate crimes. And what our statutes do primarily is they enhance current crimes. It doesn't set out a separate crime. Many years ago, we passed a statute we refer to as ethnic intimidation, which did create a crime if certain assaults took place because of race, color, religion, nationality, or country of origin. But those statutes, or that statute, actually does not apply in this case because that was aimed at actually low-level assaults. We have some other statutes, but only a couple in North Carolina, which enhance the punishment for a crime if it can be shown that it was a hate crime. But we do not truly have a separate crime as they do under federal law.
And so you were saying that it changes at the federal level. What would have to transpire for this case to move to a federal case?
Well, at the federal level, they actually... There's a part of the U.S. Code that makes what people refer to as hate crimes, that action of assaulting someone, killing someone because of their religious beliefs, for example, it makes that a crime in and of itself, not just an enhancement to an existing crime. A lot of people refer to that as the Matthew Shepard Law or the James Byrd Jr. Law.
Mm-hmm.
And so... At the federal level, they can actually bring a separate charge as a hate crime. And I'm not certain of what the punishment is at the federal level. I know whenever it involves an assault, it's somewhere between a 7- and 10-year felony. I believe for a homicide, it's a greater punishment. So at the federal level, there is a separate crime. And at the federal level, there can be prosecutions for homicide, sometimes I know people have heard of instances where the federal government brings a case, for example, after in state court, after someone has been acquitted, they bring a civil rights violation, a constitutional rights violation lawsuit, which can have punishment, can even have punishment, for example, that could put someone in prison for many, many years or perhaps even life imprisonment. So at the federal level, they have several different tools that they can use to prosecute separately from state court.
Again, that is Orange County and Chatham County District Attorney Jim Woodall speaking with WCHL's Blake Hodge. There is a lot more to that interview. You can hear it on our website at chapelbrew.com. Now, it's important to point out that Woodall is not involved with the prosecution in this case because while the shooting occurred in Chapel Hill at a Chapel Hill address, it was technically in Durham County. That's why it's being run through the Durham County court system. The investigation into that shooting is still in its early stages, of course. The preliminary investigation from police points to an ongoing parking dispute that triggered the incident. Others are questioning that. WCHL's Aaron Keck spoke with Sadu Malik from Ahmadiyya Muslim Youth Association about the feelings among Muslims right here in our community right now.
The case is still ongoing and the motive behind this killing is still not clear.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people are saying it's due to car parking and that kind of or car park dispute or anti-hate or mm-hmm. like atheism or that kind of stuff. But at the moment, let's relax a little bit and I mean, let the police do their investigation and come up with the motive. And obviously everyone is scared about what has happened. But I think this is just an isolated incident. It shouldn't be so much, you know, let the police do their work and come up with the real motive. Then, of course, we'll be able to ascertain why is it that people to take up three innocent lives.
Again, quite a bit of fear in the Muslim community right now that they are being targeted. Sadu Malik from Ahmadiyya Muslim Youth Association had a long conversation with Aaron Keck. You can hear it on our website, chapelbrew.com, a source for all of our stories. Following Wednesday night's touching candlelight vigil at the university here in Chapel Hill for three victims of the shooting rampage, another vigil was held last night over in Raleigh at the North Carolina State campus. The funeral service yesterday for Dia Barakat, Yusor Abu Salah, and Razan Abu Salah was held at Method Road Soccer Complex at North Carolina State.
If we loved Dia, if we love Yusor, if we love Razan, if we love these beautiful souls, then let me connect the dots. If you love their smile, if you love their selflessness, if you love what they did for the community, then no. Hear me now and hear me clearly. You saw the beauty of Islam.
Burial for the three students was held in Wendell after the prayer service. All around the world, people continue mourning the loss of those students. Of course, Dia Barakat UNC. He was a dental student. His wife, Yusor Muhammad Abu Salah, who is set to attend UNC School of Dentistry this fall, and her younger sister, North Carolina State College of Design student, Razan Muhammad Abu Salah. The loss felt particularly hard in the Muslim community of humanitarian volunteers. All the victims very much involved in that community. WCHL's Danny Hooley spoke with Usama Mazui, Vice President of United Muslim Relief, about the loss of these three young people and some of the volunteer work that they had been doing.
Can you tell me about the formation of your chapter in the Triangle here and Dia's involvement with that?
Yeah, so United Muslim Relief has a number of chapters nationwide, university chapters. And we are a humanitarian organization. We're a non-government, non-profit organization. So we have a number of chapters, and one of them was the Triangle chapter. So Dia was formative really in forming the chapter, registering it, and getting it together. And, of course, Razan was actually a current member at the UMR chapter. We have quite a good presence nationwide. We attend large conferences. We're well-known within the Muslim community here in the USA. And so we get lots of interested youth, young people interested in becoming active in the humanitarian sector, in the humanitarian field. And he comes from a family of people that are well-known in the community, very active, and who have a real interest in humanitarian work and humanitarian assistance. You know, it was, I think, a natural step for him to get involved when he attended college and to want to do something locally and have a United Muslim Relief presence where young people can come together and work on both national and international issues, from feeding the homeless to the Syrian crisis and the Syrian refugee crisis at the moment. So both national and international. And it was an opportunity for him to really organize that for us and to get young people in vocally.
Yes, and I understand that he traveled to the West Bank to help special needs
Correct.
Kids.
Working with special needs children.
Right.
And doing dental relief there with special relief children. Yeah, so we have a dental relief section or department within the program department at United Muslim Relief. And dental relief is really something that's really quite difficult to fundraise for, and there is a big gap in the market, and there's a massive need for dental relief. And so people like the dentists who are involved with us really want to give back to the community, and I think that just really shows testament to his desire to use his skills and his knowledge to help those really those in need. And so we're now working on trying to really go out and expand that dental relief work. And he was really quite formative in the early eight stages of forming a dental relief department. And like you said, traveled with us to the West Bank to do that.
You can hear the full interview with Usama Mazui, Vice President of United Muslim Relief, at our website, chapelbrew.com. Of course, this whole community is sad for another reason this week. Mourners attended a private service in honor of Dean Smith yesterday. Family, friends, former players, and coaches gathered in that private service at Binkley Baptist Church yesterday. It was a veritable who's who of Carolina basketball and more. Among the coaches who attended, of course, Roy Williams was there. He also worked as an assistant to Coach Smith for many years. Everybody knows the connection there. Former UNC assistant and head coach Bill Guthridge, Dean Smith's right-hand man for so long. Duke Hall of Fame coach Mike Krzyzewski was there. Former Georgetown coach John Thompson. Dave Odom was there. And former players who attended yesterday included Michael Jordan, Phil Ford, Jerry Stackhouse, Sam Perkins, Eric Montrose, Brad Daugherty, Rashid Wallace, and so many others, too numerous to name. A public memorial service is scheduled for February 22nd, that is a week from Sunday, in the campus arena, which bears the coach's name. It's 8:17 at WCHL, and one thing I'll point out, one thing that Dean Smith did not like is the Dean Dome. I have consciously never said the Dean Dome out of respect to him.
I didn't know that.
He never liked that.
Huh.
Always call it the Dean Smith Center.
Good,
and
to
there,
know.
There are people who say that who don't know that that's right. The way Dean Smith felt. But
yeah, you know, I had no idea.
I've heard that he just did not like it. So, At any rate, it is time now for traffic and weather together on WCHL. This traffic report is brought to you this morning by the Carolina Inn, and here is Nikki Morse.
Looking just busy northbound on Fordham Boulevard as you make your way towards Manning Drive and Highway 54. Watch for a crash that's clearing 54 and TW Alexander, 40 eastbound, still just busy. Some crowded segments here and there between 86 and Aviation Parkway. If you see anything while traveling, you can be a WCHL road warrior. Call us at 967-8363, or you can tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And this traffic report has been brought to you by the Carolina Inn. The Carolina Inn's Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar, where you can savor delectable cuisine prepared with fresh local ingredients, created by executive chef James Clark and his very talented culinary team. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant is something else. It's a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. If you haven't been there, you're really missing out. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough Weather is brought to you this morning by Orange County. We'll tell you why in just a moment. It is 25 degrees right now, cold, partly sunny today, much cooler, high today only in the upper 30s. Going to warm up maybe 12 degrees, something like that. Tonight mostly clear and cold with a low down around 19. And then tomorrow partly sunny, breezy. Our highs in the low 50s, which doesn't sound so bad, but then consider what comes after. Saturday night mostly cloudy, slight chance of rain showers, and then mostly clear after midnight, winds kicking up, and cold, low around 14, wind chill values now down near zero. It's not good. Sunday will continue with that really cold weather. Orange County has something really special happening. It's the 17th annual Orange County Agricultural Summit. It'll be held Monday from 8 a.m. until 1 p.m. If you'd like to go, register, visit orangecountync.gov.
Wake up with Ron Stutz. And remember, we're your station for the Tar Heels. This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL.
Coming up in a few minutes at the bottom of the hour, we'll tell you what happened at last night's Chapel Hill Town Council meeting on WCHL. But right now, let's go ahead and turn to WCHL Championship Sports. Carolina women got a win last night. Some may call it an upset. It was number 17 over number 7, Carolina women over Florida State last night. Carolina baseball season cranks up today, 2 o'clock, Bosch Emmer Stadium. Tar Heels hosting Seton Hall. And the Carolina men have a very important game coming up tomorrow. And they will play their first ACC game at Pittsburgh, taking on the Pittsburgh Panthers. WCHL's Matt Oakes has a quick preview.
After a week-long hiatus spent absorbing the news of Carolina legend Dean Smith's passing while hitting the practice courts, UNC should be eager to tip things off at high noon Saturday. The Oakland Zoo, as they call the boisterous student section at the Peterson Event Center, will be ready as well, doing their part to guide the Panthers to an upset victory over the Tar Heels. UNC sophomore forward Isaiah Hicks, meanwhile, will be looking to block out the noise and continue on his upward trajectory. In his last outing at Boston College, Hicks tallied a career high 21 points. Junior guard Marcus Page was impressed.
He was a beast on the block. He went to his right-hand jump hook. He hit the boards. He was really impressive, especially for a guy who's a second career start or something like that. So I was proud of the way he fought for us.
Hicks says his offensive performance can vary game to game, but on the defensive end, it's another story.
I guess at times it's just been on and off, but on the defensive side, it's always been on because that's something you can control. You know, efforts. It's all about you. You know, it's you and your brain, your body. So that's something you can easily control.
That is Isaiah Hicks and Matt Oakes. Thanks for that preview. There's a lot more to it on our website, chapelboro.com. It's 8:21 at WCHL. Greg Barnes of Inside Carolina joins us now. And, Greg, this has been a really tough week for everybody. And while most of us haven't really thought about the actual basketball being played on the court, I know that you've been, because of your job, you've been thinking about this UNC-Pittsburgh game coming up tomorrow. How do the Tar Heels shape up as they go against the Panthers for the very first time in Pittsburgh?
Well, I think it'll be interesting, Ron, to see how the team responds. Typically, whenever Coach Williams has some kind of emotional situation, the team has always done a pretty good job of bouncing back. He's very emotional about playing NC State. I think he's like 25-2 against the Wolfpack because the players kind of rallied at that cause. This, of course, has been on a completely different level. And so it'll be interesting to see. You know the guys are going to come out and play with a ton of heart, a ton of passion. Sometimes that can be a little too unbridled. And so that's the key to watch with this game. Pittsburgh's going to play very physical. They're going to play very tough. They're not as talented as North Carolina. But can Carolina kind of control their emotions, at least early? And if they can, they should have a good afternoon.
Well, Greg, you know, we've talked so much this year about how Carolina needed to be more physical and tougher. Roy has talked about that a lot. And, of course, coming up tomorrow, they're facing a team that really is just the opposite of that. I mean, they're going to really play a physical game. There is no question about that.
Right, and that's one of the things. You go back to the Boston College game last week, which seemed like an eternity ago. Kennedy Meeks doesn't start. And one of the reasons was the defensive aspect. And defense has a lot to do with toughness, how much you want it, how much you want to get after it. Isaiah Hicks said a lot of good things. But for North Carolina to make a run in March, Kennedy Meeks has to be a central figure in the post. So how he responds will be very critical. Bryce, that's kind of been a knock on him, the lack of toughness. So you're exactly right. How they respond and how much toughness they play with will determine who wins this game. As I mentioned, they have a lot more talented than Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's kind of in a down year. But they still come with that physical mindset. So that'll be the primary thing to watch.
And as always, one of the smallest guys on the court, Roy has referred to him as the tough little nut. The toughest guy in this Carolina basketball team is Marcus Page. So hopefully he can step up and have a step up to the level where he normally is and have another really big game tomorrow.
Right, and I think that's the key thing for this team. If you look over the last month, really dating back to the NC State game, but I know he hit that game winner against Louisville a week prior. But over that time period, he has really elevated his play. He's shooting a lot better. He's scoring the ball better. He's always been a good rebounder and been a good leader on the team. But when all those things start to come around, he is very good. And you talk about that toughness aspect for Marcus. Again, for him, it really starts defensively. He's one of the best defensive point guards in the league because he does have that toughness mindset. And so you wrap all those things together, you understand why he was the ACC preseason player of the year, and that's how he's playing right now.
Well, Greg, thanks as always for being with us.
All right, thanks, Ron.
Greg Barnes, InsideCarolina.com. Check him out there. Carolina, by the way, leads the all-time series with Pittsburgh 8-2, but the Tar Heels fell to the Panthers 80-75. It was a really ugly game. Last year's ACC tournament quarterfinals in Greensboro. I think every Tar Heel fan will remember that. So it'll be tough tomorrow. Of course, you can hear it right here on WCHL. It's 8:25. I'm Ron Stutz. Now brought to you by the Vapor Girl.
Archansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Watch out for Pitt, a team with NCAA bubble trouble. This is Archansky with Friday Sports Notebook. Carolina goes back to action Saturday at Pitt, a trap game that is more important to the Panthers than the Tar Heels. Pitt is 16-9 with only a few quality wins. That puts Pitt squarely on the NCAA tournament bubble, with UNC a prime target for its postseason resume. And with a week off and all the attention on the death of Dean Smith, the Heels have every reason for a flat start. Pitt is similar to Carolina, using 8 or 9 plays a game with quality inside play from Michael Young and Jamel Artis. The Panthers used their size and bulk to upset Notre Dame at home 3 days after the Irish had beaten Duke in South Bend. And in Carolina's last game, the opponent was smallish BC, with not nearly the inside presence of this opponent. Keep an eye on sophomore forward Isaiah Hicks, who had his career college game against the Eagles. On the road in the ACC is never easy, and attention has been building toward UNC's third straight road game, Wednesday night at Duke. It is really important for 8-3 Carolina to be 9-3 in the ACC going to Durham, with the Blue Devils favored in their own dangerous road game at Syracuse Saturday night. The Tar Heels have to keep pace with the Dukies to remain in the top four in the ACC standings so they can get a bye into Thursday's quarterfinals of the conference tournament. Losses at Pitt and Duke, with trips left to Georgia Tech and Miami, and the March 7th rematch with the Blue Devils, would not leave Carolina in prime position for that top four finish. At 18-6, UNC is comfortably in the NCAA tournament, barring a total collapse down the stretch. But February has long been considered the great barometer for the postseason and seeds in the big dance. Few teams that falter in February can get it together for a solid run in March and March Madness. Conversely, some good teams become great teams by building momentum down the stretch. A loss tomorrow at high noon would be Carolina's third in the last four games, but a win would run its ACC road record to 5-1 and give the team renewed confidence with Cameron Indoor Stadium coming up in 4 days. The Tar Heels had better be ready for a physical battle and a hostile crowd in Pittsburgh, because that is what they will get, and that is the test they need to pass to become a championship-caliber basketball team. This is our chance. See ya.
WCHL Championship Sports, presented by UNC Healthcare.
And one and two.
Meet Samaya. She may seem like an ordinary 4-year-old budding ballerina, but she's a champion at heart. Samaya was diagnosed with congestive heart failure at 4 months old. That's when UNC Children stepped in with a life-saving transplant she needed. As a leading children's hospital in the Southeast, we provide care for future champions of all ages, like Samaya, so she can get back to dancing, and we can say we knew her when. Visit unccchildrens.org.
I'm Sir Isaac Newton, and I missed out on Geico car insurance. Discovering gravity was neat, but you don't need an apple to fall on your head to realize saving with Geico is just as impressive. Since 1936, Geico's been saving people money on car insurance. That's over 75 years. So savings over time equals celebration. Zing! Understand the gravity of the situation and switch to Geico. Get it?
Geico, saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years.
Hi, this is Greg Overbeck for the Chapel Hill Restaurant Group. We've been running ads on CHL for a while, encouraging you to support your community and dine locally. We wanted you to know that we'd obviously love it if you chose Squid, Spanky's, or 411 West every night. But when you decide to dine somewhere else, please choose one of the many fine, locally owned, independent restaurants in the area. Why independent? Well, chains spend their money back at corporate headquarters in Chicago or New York or L.A., but not locally. A recent study showed that locally owned restaurants reinvest in their communities at 3 times the rate the chains do. In the long run, the fact that local businesses do business locally leads to more resources for our community. Better schools, better teachers, more public services. You're not saving the world when you go out to eat, but every little bit makes a difference. So please, support your community and dine locally. Thanks again from the Chapel Hill Restaurant Group.
Why pay for your 2015 dental benefits if you're not going to use them? Now is the time to schedule to get your maximum benefits met by year's end. The Kennedy Dental Group is one of the few practices in Chapel Hill that files all insurance claims from their office, 1721 East Franklin Street. Consistently rated among the best practices in the Triangle, the Kennedy Dental Group continues to be on the cutting edge of family dentistry while emphasizing the utmost in customer care. Call for an appointment at 919-967-9291 or go to kennedydentalgroup.com.
WCHL's Chapel Hill cover weather presented by Grimble Jewelers. It is 26 degrees in Chapel Hill, partly sunny today. Our high temperature only in the upper 30s. So bundle up when you go out if you haven't already. Tonight, mostly clear, cold, low down to 19. On Saturday, partly sunny and breezy, not as cool with a high in the low 50s. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, slight chance of rain up until about midnight, and then clearing up and very windy and cold, low about 14 degrees on Saturday night. It is really going to be cold. Sunday is going to be very cold as well.
Chapelboro.com is more of what you live here for. If it's happening where you live, you can find it on 97.9 FM. WCHL's website, Chapelboro.com.
I'm Dave Barrett. More snow is headed for Boston. This family won't be there to deal with it. They're going to Maui.
It's a chance for us to recharge and spend some time together as a family. We've had lots of hours together shoveling, but that's not quite the same thing.
The low zero wind chills felt today from Michigan to New England. Around Boston, there are towering snowbanks.
Can't see anybody. Can't walk around. You can't drive around. I mean, somebody's got to do something about this.
Well, they're trying to do something. They've set up a couple of huge snow melters. National Guard troops are also helping. In snowy Providence, Rhode Island, it was 7 degrees this morning outside Mitchell Check's florist shop.
We have to wrap everything so it doesn't freeze.
He's getting Valentine's Day flowers ready. You can't park because of snow, so he hired runners to dash from the truck and make deliveries.
At that temperature, it only takes about 30 seconds or so, and the flowers can get frozen.
So far, so good.
It's wintertime in New England. It's what it is.
CBS News Update. I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
WCHL News, Talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
832, 25 degrees in Chapel Hill, 24 this morning in Carborough, WCHL. All kinds of stories, interviews, comments, everything that you can possibly imagine on the story of the three murders we had earlier in the week and all the implications of that, plus news of Dean Smith and all the memories everybody has of Dean Smith. The private memorial service that was held yesterday at Binkley Baptist Church. The public memorial service coming up later on in the month, a week from Sunday. And all of that is on our website in great detail. Go there, chapelboro.com. But let's talk about some other news items today. We have something very important to talk about. The open enrollment period to file an application for health insurance is coming to a close on Monday. Monday's the Sunday, I should say. The 15th is the deadline. Chapel Hill Public Library is offering assistance to those who are looking for help navigating the path to sign up for health care. They have an all-day enrollment session today. Officials with the library say they are encouraging those who need to sign up for health care, do it quickly so that they're not relying on the website at the deadline. Now, in order to sign up for coverage, you'll need to bring along a Social Security number for everyone in your household that needs coverage. In addition, you'll need to bring in employer and income information. And also, if you currently have any health coverage, you'll need those policy numbers. And if you're eligible for health insurance from your employer, you'll need to fill out a waiver on healthcare.gov. You can call ahead to reserve a time during the enrollment session. Walk-ins are also welcome. Again, that is all day today. This is the second year of open enrollment since the Affordable Care Act was put into place. The law provides subsidies to those who need assistance in paying for health coverage, and it makes having health care a requirement by law. Those who are not covered are subject to a fine. Once Once again, the deadline to sign up for coverage is Sunday, but if you need coverage, you are strongly encouraged to apply before the deadline. And again, the Chapel Hill Public Library offering assistance today. It is an all-day enrollment session. At last night's negotiation session, the Chapel Hill Town Council discussed an affordable housing plan for the proposed Obi Creek development.
There's potentially a mixture of ownership and rental housing at the project.
That is Ben Perry, finance director of the development company East West Partners. He proposed that 15% of the for sale units and 5% of the rentals be designated as affordable housing. The developer wants to build 1.6 million square feet of commercial, residential, and office space on 35 acres, which is across from Southern Village. An Obi Creek Affordable Housing Subcommittee, made up of some council members and stakeholders, had meetings with East West Partners over the last month or so. Now, Perry said East West Partners would provide 15% of the for sale units at prices affordable to people earning up to 80% of the area median income, which is $66,000 for a Chapel Hill household. In other words, the developer would offer 6 to 8 for sale townhouses at a reduced cost. This means Chapel Hill's inclusionary zoning ordinance for residential development.
The rental component is a little more difficult and complex.
Perry said the developer could offer 5% of the 600 rental units at a reduced cost. Half of those 30 reduced-cost rentals would be eligible to Section 8 and Veterans Affairs voucher holders. Those would serve people who earn between 30 and 60% of the area median income. The other half would be offered to people earning between 60 and 80% of the area median income. These tenants would pay 30% of their income for the units. And the council could ask the developer to pay a fee for affordable housing programs off-site instead of offering affordable housing at Obi Creek. Dolores Bailey, executive director of Empowerment, Inc., served on the Obi Creek Affordable Housing Subcommittee.
My suggestion is that we take the affordable rental units, not the payment in lieu. There are lots of families that we can accommodate with this project when it happens.
The town also talked about a draft of the Obi Creek Development Agreement. This agreement, a contract between the town and the developer, would list the permitted uses, housing requirements, environmental specifications, and other conditions and requirements. The council would vote on the agreement in June at the earliest. You can find a story and a link to the development agreement draft on our website, chapelbrew.com. Council's next negotiation session is scheduled for February 19th, which is late next week at Chapel Hill Town Hall. A bill that lowers North Carolina's gasoline tax immediately but opens the door to higher tax rates later has cleared the North Carolina Senate, but not before there was more sniping from Republicans and Democrats. The measure, given final Senate approval on Thursday, reduces the rate by 2.5 cents per gallon to 35 cents March 1st through the end of the calendar year. And the tax formula would be changed after that. Republicans say the changes provide stability for road building revenues and would ensure projects in the pipeline are finished. But Democrats say the GOP is hiding a long-term tax increase. Projections show the tax rate could be 7 cents higher in 2019 compared with the current rules. The bill's next stop is the House, where changes are expected. We all need some good news, right? Well, lottery officials in North Carolina are waiting for the holder of one of three winning tickets in the $564 million Powerball drawing to step forward. A statement from the North Carolina Education Lottery on Thursday said a Scotchman convenience store in the town of Shallotte in Brunswick County sold the ticket. The store is eligible to get a $50,000 retailer incentive award for selling that winning jackpot ticket, but still, the winner has not stepped forward. The winner has 180 days from Wednesday's drawing to claim the prize at lottery headquarters in Raleigh. The win is the fourth time that a North Carolina ticket has claimed a Powerball jackpot. Shallotte, in case you don't know, is located on Highway 17, 8 miles north of the southeastern North Carolina coast and about 15 miles east of the South Carolina state line. So somebody down there has some money coming to them. They just have to claim it. Tar Heel baseball team, ranked number 17 in the preseason, begins another quest for Omaha, the College World Series. That will start this afternoon. It's always really cold on opening day, so this is appropriate, I guess. Our Tar Heels will be playing Seton Hall today at Bosch-Amber Stadium at 2 o'clock. Trent Thornton, just one of many outstanding pitchers on this team, will be starting today for the Tar Heels. Quick note here about high school basketball. Last night, Chapel Hill Tigers unable to play the role of spoiler against Cardinal Gibbons. Crusaders defeated the Tigers 61-48, earning Gibbons a share of the Big 8 regular season championship. Brian Thornton led Chapel Hill with 16 points, the only Tiger in double figures. And Chapel Hill will play again Monday at home in the first round of the Big 8 tournament. That'll be interesting. Orange faces Cedar Ridge tonight in Red Wolves Gym. Our coverage on 97.9 and 1360 AM WCHL begins at 6:30 with Above the Rim with Adam Moore and Matt. That's Adam and Matt. We'll go live to Hillsboro for the Panthers versus the Red Wolves starting at 7 o'clock with Jeff Hamlin. We'll also carry the game live on ChapelBro.com and Chapel Hill Girls. Congratulations. They defeated Cardinal Gibbons last night, 54-38, to finish 14-0 in the Big 8 Conference. Just finishing up some of the sports that I did not have time to talk about earlier today. Nikki Morse is here, and Nikki, it's been quite an interesting day and just a devastating week for so many of us. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready for the weekend.
Totally ready for the weekend. I'm so happy that it's Friday. And if you're on the roadways, you should be happy that it's Friday as well, because there's not a whole lot going on.
Yeah, let's go ahead and talk about the traffic and weather situation here a little early in the hour. Nikki, what's happening out there on the roads?
Well, we've got a crash clearing on Highway 54 at TW Alexander. Should be in the final cleanup stages, so not too much of a problem. We're not looking at any delays now on 40 eastbound. If you're heading towards RTP, we've got a smooth ride all the way from 15501 through 540. But if you see anything while traveling, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Call us at 967-8363, or you can even tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
We'll listen for your news updates throughout the day at the bottom of the hour.
You got it.
And see you back here Monday morning.
Sounds good.
Nikki Morse, everybody. Hey.
Oh, thank you very much.
Good job. Grumble Jewelers is always there for you. It's Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler in the Village Plaza right next to Whole Foods. Go see Berkeley Grumble today. If you don't mind, he will tell you about a lot of things, some things far beyond jewelry. That is Grumble Jewelers on Elliott Road right next to Whole Foods. Now, your Chapel Hill cover of weather brought to you this morning by the Glass Half Full restaurant in Carborough. And it is going to be cold this weekend. I'm telling you, we're talking about some really cold weather Saturday night. And it's going to be partly sunny today, much cooler. High today in the upper 30s. Tonight mostly clear, cold, low down around 19. Tomorrow actually a little warmer with a high in the low 50s. Partly sunny skies, but it's going to be breezy. And then Saturday night, the winds will really kick up. Mostly cloudy, slight chance of rain up until about midnight. And then overnight, that's a real story. Overnight, it'll clear up. The winds will crank up. We'll have wind chill values down to about 1 above 0, low about 14. Sunday, sunny, much colder with a high in the upper 20s. Wind gust up to 30 miles per hour on Sunday as well. Wind chill values as low as 1 below. Sunny night and Washington's birthday, partly cloudy and cold, low between 10 and 15. I mean, so we're talking about some really frigid weather here. Glass Half Full is a friendly, optimistic restaurant, wine bar, and wine shop right in the heart of downtown Carborough. Online at glasshalffullcarborough.com. Good food, good wine, and lots of fun, too. Coming up next, we're going to talk about literacy right here in Orange County.
Where can kids like me go to learn new skills, make friends, and have fun?
Chapel Hill Gymnastics, the community's largest gymnastics facility, offering tumbling, trampoline, summer camps, birthday parties, gymnastics classes for boys and girls ages 1 year and up, and more. The structured classes and energetic atmosphere motivate gymnasts to achieve personal goals in the sport of gymnastics. Call 919-942-3655 or visit ChapelHillGymnastics.com.
Chapel Hill Gymnastics, the fun place to learn and grow.
Does size matter? Does how big it is matter? From diamonds to trucks to homes to you name it, does size matter? Well, sometimes it does. Sometimes bigger is better. Sometimes big is best. But the reason to give her something very special on Valentine's Day, something that is actually very, very small, is because size, S-I-G-H-S, because size matter. I'm Berkeley Grimble of Grimble Jewelers. What matters most on Valentine's Day is her reaction. What matters is surprising her with a gift that she might hope for but never expects. It's loving her with a gift that brings on that gasp of delight, followed by those sighs. It's those sighs that fall quietly from her lips to tell you how much she loves your gift. And really, it's those sighs that tell you how loved she feels by you. And that, my friend, means everything to her. So come see us at Grimble Jewelers. We'll help you find something very nice for your Valentine. And why a gift so nice? Because size matter. Grimble Jewelers, because we are hardwired to love small, shiny objects.
This is Jeff Rubish. Did you know that filing frequent claims on your homeowner's insurance can have severe consequences? Frequent claims could lead to increased premiums and cancellation of your homeowner's insurance. Your home is a long-term investment, so consider higher deductibles and paying for minor damages out of your own pocket. Protecting your home against catastrophic loss is essential and can lower your premiums for the life of your home ownership. Call my office at 913-1144 to schedule a complete review of your insurance. This is Jeff Rubish. Did you know?
Why pay for your 2015 dental benefits if you're not going to use them? Now is the time to schedule to get your maximum benefits met by year's end. The Kennedy Dental Group is one of the few practices in Chapel Hill that files all insurance claims from their office at 1721 East Franklin Street. Consistently rated among the best practices in the Triangle, the Kennedy Dental Group continues to be on the cutting edge of family dentistry while emphasizing the utmost in customer care. Call for an appointment at 919-967-9291 or go to kennedydentalgroup.com.
Like most people in Chapel Hill, I love 411 West. And sure, I love that the bottles of wine are half price every Monday and that every meal starts with warm, freshly baked rolls. But for me, the thing that gets me every time is the Stella salad. It's simply delicious at lunch or dinner. A fresh bed of lettuce, toasted walnuts, grilled red onions, and gorgonzola cheese. Perfection.
It's the favorites that keep people coming back to 411 West Italian Cafe. Simple, fresh, and reliable. Visit 411west.com for menus and reservations.
Don't miss the WCHL weekend shows designed to educate, inform, inspire, and entertain. Listen to vital health information provided in a comforting manner with Your Health, hosted by Drs. Adam Goldstein and Christy Page of UNC Family Medicine. Is music more your scene? Enjoy live performances by Americana singer-songwriters from the Pittsboro Roadhouse, hosted by award-winning singer-songwriter Tokyo Rosenthal. These are just two of your listening possibilities on the weekend. Find the weekend schedule on chapelboro.com or just tune in to 97.9 FM and 1360 AM. WCHL, the
morning
news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Morning, it is 8:45 at WCHL. I'm Ron Stutz, and a couple of special guests in the studio today from the Orange County Literacy Writers for Readers program. First of all, Shannon Ravenel is here. Shannon, thank you for coming.
Thank you for having us.
We also have Chuck Adams here. And Chuck, good morning.
Thank you.
Tell us about the Orange County Literacy's Writers for Readers program. First of all, I guess we should probably tackle the literacy problem. There is a problem with literacy, believe it or not. Some people don't believe this, but here in highly educated Orange County, there are so many people who can't read.
Well, as it turns out, in Orange County, North Carolina, 50% of the population has at least a bachelor's degree, mm-hmm. 30% has an advanced degree, and 15% has trouble reading at a high school level. In the last 8 years, the overall population growth in Orange County has been about 5%. A large, large proportion of that new population has been through immigration from Asian countries and from Spanish-speaking countries, and those are the populations that a good deal of the work that the Orange County Literacy Council does is for.
You know, I've been thinking a lot about literacy this week because I knew you were coming in, about these heavy news stories that we've had this week here in Chapel Hill, and we've been directing everybody to our website where we have just a litany of stories there and everything, and just imagining what it must be like not to be able to read and not to be able to check out things for yourself or research
in
things.
In so many ways.
Yeah,
the
really.
The grocery store, the drugstore.
Exactly.
Everything. It's very, very hard.
Just such a nightmare. What are some of the effects of illiteracy on an individual and a family, Chuck?
I think probably the most basic thing is, and I've heard people who can't read or write well express a sense of shame. So I think the self-esteem is a big issue. But on a more practical level, economic issues, because the ability to get and hold on to a well-paying job requires a fairly high level of literacy, whether it's the ability to read or write or to speak English well.
And that whole shame thing comes in the fact that a lot of people out there walking around right now who can't read, but they don't want anybody to know it.
They don't
right.
want you to know.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, it's like if you go to the grocery store and you can't find something, if you can't speak English, you can't articulate what you're looking for. And if you can't read well and don't know English also, you can't even read street signs or transportation signs. So there's so many things that you're handicapped with if you're not literate.
What kind of programs does Orange Literacy offer to combat that problem?
Well, a lot of them. In the 30 years since the founding of Orange Literacy, the number of programs offered has really increased enormously. Right now, instruction is offered in adult literacy, family literacy, GED preparation, citizenship, computer skills, and more English for speakers of other languages. Mm-hmm. The number of students grows and grows with this immigration, and the council has taken that on in a big way. So the volunteers are the ones that do this.
I was going to ask, are the tutors with this program primarily volunteers?
Yes, they are. And the number of students that those tutors teach has increased so much in the last, 7 years, we've gone from 190 full-time students to over 400.
Wow.
So it's an amazing amount of work, but the people who tutor for us are very interested in it and very enthusiastic about it, make lifelong friends of their tutees, and really enjoy it. There are, I think that what I was told recently, that last year we provided 11,000 hours of tutoring.
Mm-hmm.
We're always looking for more tutors.
Wow, that's amazing. Chuck, I wonder if, we have limited time here, but I wonder if there is maybe a success story that you could pass along that you've seen with some of these students.
Well, there's a film that the council did, a short documentary that includes a lot of testimonials of people who have been through the program and who have come out with success. And one of them is a gentleman who's well into middle age, who at that point in his life, has finally learned to read and write and is just enjoying this so much. And another example I remember was a woman who had immigrated here from Asia who had learned English to the point where she was able to support her family and had a really well-paying job. So those are the kind of success stories that you see that get displayed a lot. And again, we mentioned the smaller successes of just people being able to take care of themselves.
The lady who had to take the GED 11 times because she kept flunking math, but she kept taking it, and her tutor kept teaching her, and she passed it. And she's in one of those videos, and she's wonderful.
Wow. I can only imagine what it must be like to learn to read in middle age. It would be like somebody turning on a light bulb. Shannon, I know that there's a special Writers for Readers event coming up on, I guess it's Tuesday?
Tuesday evening. And,
tell us about that.
Well, we'll both tell you about it. we're the co-chairs, and we've been struggling with it and having fun putting it together. This is the eighth year that we've had this. It's called Writers for Readers.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is that we bring in writers, sometimes very famous writers, sometimes just very well-known writers, sometimes unknown writers, to talk about writing and reading and what it means to them. And we sell tickets to this, and it's become very popular. And this year, we've grown to the point where we are going to the Friday Center for the first time.
Wow.
So we're looking forward to it. And Chuck can tell you more about the writers that are coming.
Chuck, it's downright inspirational, isn't it?
Well, it is. It is. I went last year for the first time myself to this event, and it was pretty amazing. They had such a great program of writers speaking about their work, and huge turnout, so I was very enthused about it. I've just joined the council this year myself, so it's my first time of working on it.
Who are some of the writers that will be there?
Well, the writers we have coming this year are Ben Cheever, who's the son of Pulitzer Prize-winning author John Cheever, Rafael Iglesias, who himself is a best-selling author and who is the son of two writers, Helen and Jose Iglesias. And our third is Robert Rubin, who's the son of Louis Rubin, who was a successful writer and also co-founder with Shannon of Algonquin Press here in Chapel Hill. So you see we have a theme of writers talking about the experience of growing up in a family that of writers and whether this was a good thing or a bad thing, helped them or hurt them and intimidated them. And so it'll be a slightly different angle this year. And Danny Wallace is going to moderate the program. Mm-hmm. So, and that's at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, 6 o'clock on Tuesday.
At the Friday.
Yeah, Shannon, how do folks find out more about this?
There are all kinds of information about this on the Orange County Literacy Council's website, and it's easy to get to. But you can call the council. I'm sorry I don't have the phone number with me, but call the council, and there are lots of people there who can give you information about how to get a ticket, how to give money.
Just Google Orange Literacy yeah. and you can get there.
And we're calling this one Writers from Writers.
Writers from Writers.
Yeah. For readers.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well,
and there's a cocktail party.
Yeah.
and
yeah, that's a big part of it, too. Hey, also, thanks to the writers for coming out to support literacy and bring greater awareness to the community about literacy issues, of which we have many. And a lot of folks don't even know that. They live right here and they think everybody's educated, everybody has an advanced degree. That's not necessarily the case. Mm-hmm. And a lot of newcomers here, too, learning English.
This is so true.
Yeah. Thank you both for coming in today.
Thank you for having us.
Ron.
All right. It is 8:54 WCHL. Good morning.
Now on WCHL, a page from D.G. Martin's notebook.
One of my favorite annual events in our community is the Writers for Readers Book and Author Celebration sponsored by Orange Literacy. That's the organization that brings the gift of reading ability each year to hundreds of the thousands of people in our community who cannot read. This year at the Friday Center on Tuesday, February 17th at 6 p.m., put it on your calendar right now, to celebrate Orange Literacy with the help of literary luminaries like the co-founder of Algonquin Books, Shannon Ravenel, and Big Fish author Daniel Wallace. They bring nationally prominent and engaging writers who will inspire and entertain and mingle with the guests. This year, Daniel Wallace will be the ringmaster moderator with authors Benjamin Cleaver, Robert Rubin, and Raphael Iglesias, who are famous in their own right and also the children of really famous writers. And that's fantastic. But the highlights for me are the testimonies of our formerly illiterate neighbors who, thanks to the patient and persistent efforts of Orange Literacy volunteers, can now read their work directions. They can see signs and they can go to the grocery store and read the boxes on the shelves. They can read their family Bibles and their hymnals at church. When they tell their stories about the awful enslaving experiences of illiteracy and then the transformational difference their new reading skill has made, I can't hold back my tears. All of that makes the Writers for Readers event memorable, but there is more. Of course, the great food and drink and the chance to mingle with our local and nationally famous literary stars like Daniel Wallace and Lee Smith and Jill McCorkle and many others. And they're all passionate about giving people the ability to read. But, you know, it's hard for those of us who read and write with ease to put ourselves in the shoes of one of our Orange County neighbors who cannot read. And I got close to that feeling a few months ago taking a Spanish class where I was paired with a Spanish-speaking student who was in another class trying to learn English. And our assignment, speak English together for a few minutes and then switch and speak Spanish. First, speaking English, I had no problem, but the Spanish speaker could not understand my simple questions like, what's your home country? Tell me about your family. In response, he could say nothing because he didn't understand my language. Then it was time to speak Spanish, and I didn't understand the questions I got from him. Maybe I got a word or two, but not the real substance of what he said. And afterwards, or along the way, he and I might have thought that each other were stupid. But this common experience showed us that we could communicate with each other effectively, but only if we developed a new skill. And that kind of liberating skill is the gift that Orange Literacy can give with our help. So come with us and celebrate at the Friday Center on Tuesday, February 17th at 6 p.m. You can call the Orange Literacy office at 919-914-6153 to purchase tickets, or you can get more information if you'll check the webpage at orangeliteracy.org. See you there.
Thank you, DG. 858 WCHL, good morning.
Are you a physician assistant in the area who is looking to join an academy of peers? If so, let the North Carolina Academy of Physician Assistants work for you. Not only does being a part of the NCAPA connect you to fellow PAs in North Carolina, it also provides opportunities to have a voice on legislation that impacts your right to practice medicine. The Academy offers multiple occasions to meet peers and holds two annual CME conferences. Let the NCAPA help you so you can continue helping others. Visit ncapa.org today.
There are many reasons people sell gold and silver to Jewel Recycle in University Mall. Inheritance of unwanted jewelry and flatware, gifts from the ex, downsizing, or just for a little extra cash. But did you know the manufacture of an average gold ring creates more than 20 tons of mining waste? Selling unused jewelry is the green thing to do. Jewel Recycle in University Mall is the Triangle's top gold buyer. Visit them for a no-obligation, generous offer. Also on the web at jewelrecycle.com.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
All right, WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather. Oh, boy. It is going to be mostly sunny today, or partly sunny at least. Much cooler, high today about 38 degrees. That's it. Tonight, clear, cold, low of 19. Saturday, partly sunny, and the high in the low 50s. But then Saturday night, really cold, low down to about 14 degrees, and wind chill values down close to zero. Orange County has something special coming up on Tuesday. Something else special coming up, or actually Monday, the 17th Annual Orange County Agricultural Summit. Visit orangecountync.gov for all the details. Morning, Ross Tutz. Gotta go. See you on the radio. It's 9 o'clock.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL.